The year of pushback continues. I've got more encouraging news for you. And what is the gospel really?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I ask you a question? Where did this idea come from that following Jesus requires no sacrifice, no self-denial, no cost? Salvation is absolutely free. Salvation is absolutely costly as well. Where do we get this American version from? No sacrifice, no cross, no self-denial. Anyway, we'll talk about that today on The Line of Fire. And I've got some encouraging news for you, things happening around America with Americans waking up to righteousness. It is the year of pushback in 2015. Michael Brown, ready to start a brand new week of broadcasting with you today on The Line of Fire. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you will be educated, you will be informed, and you will be encouraged. And I've got some questions to put out for you as well. Love to get your response. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And yesterday commemorated Bloody Sunday, peaceful protest marches in Selma 50 years ago where the protesters were beaten and attacked with tear gas. Of course, our president and other national leaders commemorated that event. I wonder if it is being misused today. I wonder if it is being misappropriated today. Get your feedback on that as well. My latest article, which you can read by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest articles, is called Planet Fitness Declares Itself Unfit. End of last week, many were shocked with the news that a woman at Planet Fitness was surprised to see a man walk into the women's locker room where they change, and came walking out to inform the folks at the front desk. And they said, yes, that person can go in there because she identifies as a woman. And when the woman continued to protest this, brought it to corporate management, her membership was immediately revoked. After all, Planet Fitness prides itself on being a judgment-free zone. And she was judging, and they said took the matter too far by talking to other customers there. The other customers, the other ladies in the locker room were equally shocked. And now the person, the man in question, has come forward. Carlotta Sladowska is how he identifies himself. He said he was told you can use the locker room that corresponds with how you are dressed. And Carlotta said that he understood why this other woman would see him, his body structure is masculine because many people tell him he looks like a man. The article I'm quoting, she added that she understood why Cormier, the woman that complained, would see her body structure as masculine because many people tell her she looks like a man. No disrespect to this individual. I hope that this individual identified as Carlotta will really come to know the love and goodness of God and find complete wholeness in the body that God gave him. But perhaps the reason that people tell him that he looks like a man is because he's a man. In any case, you don't impose his struggles or confusion on everyone else. But Planet Fitness has not budged. My article encourages everyone that goes to Planet Fitness as a membership there to politely say, please, biological males need to go in the men's locker room, biological females in the ladies' locker room. And if you're that concerned about transgender individuals, make special facilities for them. Planet Fitness says they want their locker rooms, their gyms, to be non-intimidating and welcoming. Well, how about being non-intimidating and welcoming for everybody else? We come back. I want to give you encouraging news from West Virginia. A whole bunch of places I want to bring you encouraging news from today. And play a clip for you from the president and see what your take is on it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. News from West Virginia. I've said that I believe 2015 will be a year of pushback, a year of believers waking up, a year of believers saying enough is enough, a year of believers recognizing how desperately we need awakening within the church. I believe that we are seeing signs of that in different situations. What happened in the city of Charlotte a week ago was a pushback of a kind, although the church still needs to wake up in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, and although the way things happen was do it seem more to sovereign intervention than anything else. But check this out. West Virginia recently was able to elect a number of additional pro-life legislators, because of which this weekend it was reported that the West Virginia legislature on Friday overrode the governor's veto, passing a bill banning abortion after 20 weeks. Governor Earl Ray Tomlin said he vetoed the law because of concerns over its constitutionality and would have preferred a later gestational period for banning abortion. Up until that point, there was no such bill in West Virginia, even partial birth or late-term abortions, all legal. The bill excludes certain cases of medical emergencies, is set to take effect in May. West Virginia is now the 11th state to ban abortion after 20 weeks. The legislation is based on the premise that fetuses can feel pain starting around 20 weeks, a concept which is heavily debated. The legislature passed a similar bill last year, which was also vetoed by the governor. But now, this time, they were able to override the veto. Now, to be clear, it's just another step in the right direction. Just another step. It is not the cure-all, but it is another step. And as I heard on a conference call this morning, it was strategic the way the right number of people were elected, came into office, and now we're standing for life. Every step in the right direction is a positive step. And now more and more states are pushing back regarding marriage. They're saying, listen, we voted for marriage. We voted for marriage as God designed it. We voted for marriage in a way that is best for the society. We voted for marriage in the way that is best for children and families. And now activist judges have overthrown things. We're saying no to the judges. Different states gathering together. South Carolina, there was a rally a couple days back. I read about it a couple days back. It took place the end of February. People from across South Carolina gathered in front of the State House in Columbia. They came to support a bill filed in the General Assembly which would reestablish the state's sovereignty on the, quote, gay marriage issues. This is now one of four states that is stepping forward and saying, listen, you're not going to overturn the will of the people. And this could be very significant. I've been told by people with good connections that the Supreme Court is 80 to 90% likely to make a very negative ruling on marriage. I mean, this is going to be our Roe v. Wade moment in marriage, to make a very bad ruling on marriage and to redefine it in terms of it could be two men or two women. This is now not the end of the story. This is the beginning of a new chapter. And it's one, I believe, where more and more believers will wake up to the reality of the moment in which we live. Let me give you a larger context for this, all right? And then I want to play a couple of clips for you. So, Joey, have numbers 8 and 9 ready for me. And I want to get your feedback on this in a moment. But let me give you a larger context. I was working out at home yesterday afternoon, just lifting some weights, doing some exercises. So I just decided to put the TV on in the background while I was doing it, just as a distraction while I was lifting, and put on the end of a golf tournament. And they were talking about the fellow who was leading the event and ended up winning the event. And he had stepped down without full explanation, just saying he had some personal issues he had to deal with. So he had gotten out of golf for a while. And now he had come back and taken off 20 pounds of fat, added on 10 pounds of muscle. He looked very fit. And they talked about his fiance, who is the daughter of the most famous hockey player and herself a model and so on. And his life has taken a whole new turn, and they've just had their first baby, etc. And I thought, you know, that's just the culture we live in. Here it's him, his fiance, and their baby. It's just normal, and the announcer is talking about it in a very positive way. I saw the end of a tennis match one time, and the guy was just saying it's a very exciting moment for him. He and his fiance just had their first child, and they're getting married later in the year. And so you live together, you have kids, and then you get married, and it's just the norm. It's just the norm. I don't mean it is the most decadent, horrific thing that's ever happened in the history of humanity. I'm simply saying it's the state of our culture, that living together out of wedlock, having kids out of wedlock, is just normal. It is the larger sexual anarchy of the hour. And that's part of what I believe we are pushing back against, waking up to the reality of what has happened in our society, the level of immorality, the level of availability of pornography, the level of corruption of our young people, the level that marriage has been undone. Gay activism is just part, not of the civil rights movement, but of the sexual revolution. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, on that note, I want you to tell me what you think of this comment by our president, if you agree with what he has to say. Again, commemorating Bloody Sunday in Selma, the 50-year anniversary. Who would have believed on that dark day? Who would have believed, with racism on ugly display, who would have believed that less than 50 years later, less than 45 years later, we would have our first black president? Oh, we still have plenty of problems in our nation, but obviously a lot of positive steps have been taken in a fairly short period of time. Clip number 8, this is our president addressing the issue of Selma.
The doors of opportunity swung open not just for black folks, but for every American. Women marched through those doors. Latinos marched through those doors. Asian Americans, gay Americans, Americans with disabilities, they all came through those doors.
Ah, what do you think of that? So the doors that were open for civil rights movement by black protesters and their white allies and other allies, through those doors now, women have walked through. Now, I thought women made more progress in America before this than blacks, and that the segregation, the mistreatment of blacks was something that outlasted the mistreatment of women. But certainly in many ways, more equality in pay and things like that for women. Okay, I accept that. So Latinos marching through those doors, sure, that's happened more and more, though Latinos never had the negative situation to the degree that blacks did in America, obviously. Asian Americans walked through the doors, although, again, aside from a difficult time in World War II where Japanese Americans were mistreated, Asian Americans did not have the history of being brought here as slaves, etc. So they've walked through the doors of immigration, but not necessarily, you can't compare the civil rights thing. But so, look, I celebrate the changes. But what about putting gay Americans in there? Is gay the new black? How do you feel about that? Is it right to say that just as America changed its ways with blacks and did away with the mistreatment of black Americans and ended segregation, by and large, obviously there's still pockets, but made these great changes, that in the same way we've become a more open and tolerant society, and therefore gay Americans have walked through these same doors as well? Do you agree with that? In particular, if you identify with the ugly past on either side, either you were a victim of it or you were one with a history of segregation or racism in your own state or family, do you agree with this statement? 866-34-TRUTH. Curious to get your feedback. In other words, is gay the new black? Some would say it's not gay, that's the new black. Some would say it's actually transgender, that's the new black. Do you feel that the civil rights movement is now extending rightly and naturally to other people who are misunderstood, to other people who are social outcasts, to other people who are mistreated, to other people who might be victims of violence? Or do you feel there is a hijacking of the civil rights movement when we now talk about civil rights movement and gay is the new black or transgender is the new black? Curious to get your feedback on that. We've talked about it in the past, but hey, it just came up again. We'll address it. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'll tell you where my opening statement came from regarding the gospel, regarding where did we get this American version. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Right now, in 2015, 50 years after Selma, there are laws across this country designed to make it harder for people to vote. 100 members of Congress have come here today to honor people who are willing to die for the right to protect it. If we want to honor this day, let that 100 go back to Washington and gather 400 more and together pledge to make it their mission to restore that law this year. That's how we honor those on this bridge.
Now, of course, critics would say that this is just a certain liberal political agenda that is now being pushed forward on the backs of those who suffered and sacrificed for the civil rights movement. And let's remember that some of the greatest opposition to the civil rights movement back then was not from Republicans, but from Democrats. So this is hardly a partisan political issue. But the bigger question is gay the new black? 866-34-TRUTH. Is it right to say that we're now extending the same understanding, tolerance, open-armed acceptance of those who identify as LGBT? As we did when we repented of our sins against black Americans. 866-34-TRUTH. Or is it an equation, a compromise that offends you? We'll start in Manhattan, New York. Marina, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Brown. First of all, I want to thank you for your courage in speaking out on this and all of the other issues. I think that the gay agenda has kind of intimidated Christians all over. If you speak out, your business gets destroyed, you know, and so Christians are kind of in the background right now. My position on this is being gay is a lifestyle. Being gay is a choice. Being gay is not who you are. Therefore, if you choose to pursue a gay lifestyle, Why should that rise to the level of a civil rights issue?
So in other words, even if you've always had certain attractions as long as you can remember, and even if you didn't choose those attractions or feel you were born a particular way, is a civil right associated with a behavior? Or if we ask this, what is the behavior associated with being black or being white? Well, there is no behavior associated
with it. There is no behavior.
Exactly. What is the behavior
associated? It's a civil rights issue if I choose to attack you on the street because I think you might be gay.
Right, or even if you choose to attack someone.
But it is not a civil rights issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, even if someone is walking down the street who is flamingly homosexual and declaring it to everyone, no one has the right to attack that person, period. They are, and they can live how they want to live in their private lives. No one's stopping that.
Right.
But to say that there's a civil right that everyone has to recognize to, quote, being gay, that's a whole lot different than skin color, huh?
Absolutely. This basketball player that just recently came out as gay received a telephone call from the First Lady of the United States. I don't get that call because I'm black.
No, nor did you have to come out.
I don't get that call because I'm black.
Yeah, you didn't have to come out as black either.
Never have to come out as black.
Yes, exactly. Hey, Marina, thank you for calling, and thank you for the kind words. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Michelle in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Michael Brown, I love you. as my brother in Christ and as an African-American woman and who
has... All right, hey, tell you what.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
We're good. We're good. Go ahead.
Okay. As an African-American woman and as someone who was delivered from sexually immoral relationships, I am so very fed up with this agenda being pushed and so many people of my color agreeing with it simply because President Obama is black. There is no distinction between my color, which I was born at, which I didn't have a choice of, and me acting on a sexual choice. They are two different things. And I think that people using the black agenda is just it's like a smokescreen to be able to push forth what your agenda is. And it offends me. It upsets me. I believe that he was chosen for this position to push this agenda forward, just as Bill Clinton was pushed forward when he had the issue with Monica Lewinsky. And all of a sudden, across the United States, little girls were performing sexual acts on little boys because they didn't consider it sex. It's a spiritual matter, and it's a natural matter. Mm. That this is my personal reason why I prayed so fervently before I voted during the first election term for President Obama, and God showed me what his decisions were. I already knew that he was for same-sex marriage prior to this. We have to really listen to what God is telling us and the Holy Spirit is telling us regarding our decisions in the earth. And that's what I found out, and I didn't vote for him on either term because I know this is the plan. It's a strategic plan to make this the norm.
Mm. Yeah, Michelle, thank you for weighing in. No question, in terms of the aggressive agenda, I keep hearing from leaders in different parts of the world the pressure that they're being put under by the current administration to change their views. Nations, national leaders, to change their views on these issues or else funding or relationships or business. And what you mentioned with Bill Clinton and, well, it wasn't sex, and then how this pervades the culture. You know, look, there are all these different tipping points. There are thousands of different things that influence people and decisions, but the President of the United States is a very influential person, is in the natural, the most powerful leader in the world. So with whether it's Bill Clinton or George Bush or Barack Obama, for good or bad, these individuals are going to have tremendous influence. Hey, Michelle, thank you for the very kind words. By the way, a little later this month, I'm going to be preaching at a Messianic conference, a Jewish conference in Silver Spring, Maryland. I think it's the third Friday and Saturday of the month, but I'll be giving details, hope to meet some of our faithful listeners on WAVA FM and AM when I come to Maryland. All right, friends, our phone lines are jammed. I want to get to as many calls as possible, 866-34-TRUTH. But let me mention this. We've got a very, very important resource offer this week. Just holding the book in my hand is very intense. Eric Stakelback, who will be on with us towards the end of the week, has written a book called ISIS Exposed, Beheadings, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. It's a beautiful hardcover. The endorsements include Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, and Sean Hannity. It is a shocking, eye-opening book. Even what's happening in America with people being recruited for ISIS. It's a $30 book, $30 hardcover. But if you order through our ministry, we'll also send along with it a DVD of an hour-long talk I recently gave on understanding radical Islam, a real eye-opener. It'll challenge you as a believer as well. And also, we'll pay the postage. So $30 gets you the book and the DVD, and we'll pay the postage. Order as many copies as you like. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. It's a real eye-opener. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or on the website, you can order it. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage. Keep your eyes focused. Keep your eyes focused on King Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. A quick comment and then to your calls. The reason that I brought up at the outset the real gospel and how did we get this distorted version here in America is not just because it's on my mind, because I preached on that theme on Sunday morning at my home congregation, Fire, but also because it ties in with the larger perfect storm here in America. It ties in with the cultural and moral malaise that we are in. To me, that is largely due to the compromised state of the church, to us bowing down to the gods of this age, to us not preaching the cross, taking up the cross, rather preaching a what's in it for me message that bypasses the cross. And because of that, we've created an environment of ongoing moral and spiritual decay, because we who are supposed to be the standard bearers have ourselves been compromised. Therefore, it doesn't surprise me when I see this happening on other fronts through society. That being said, awakening in the church is the key to awakening in the larger culture. So, Joey, let's replay clip number 8, and then we'll take your calls to see if you agree with President Obama's comments, basically saying that gay Americans have now walked through the door that was opened by black Americans. In other words, gay is the new civil rights issue.
The doors of opportunity swung open, not just for black folks, but for every American. Women marched through those doors. Latinos marched through those doors. Asian Americans, gay Americans, Americans with disabilities, they all came through those doors.
All right, agree or disagree. We'll go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Stephen, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to make a comment to you and your listeners that, you know, really, I totally disagree with this. I don't even know why he would put this into this sentence because of, like, what Michelle said in your previous caller. They said a lot of what I was going to say, but a lot of this is choice. And to even bring that up is just to keep it, I believe, in society right now. My view is when you have less than 1% of the population that actually commits themselves to this, why even continue to bring it up and take away everybody else's rights? But to continue to keep it in the public eye, I think, is what this government and what, you know, this culture really wants, is what you were saying before. And if I could just make one more point, I've been a football coach and a baseball coach, and let me tell you something, between 8 and 14-year-olds, and these kids today, they don't think like our parents and our grandparents did. They have nothing to do with this color. They all get along. The culture has changed, but to continue to, you know, take away rights of 99% of the country, and I know you probably want to stay on this topic, but look at the thing with the, gym.
Planet Fitness. Yeah, as I wrote about, again, friends, my latest article, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article to read. Planet Fitness declares itself unfit. Yeah, you're a coach. You're dealing with kids. If you were in California and there was a boy who identified as a girl, he's a biological male, he could play on the girls' sports team and use the girls' locker room. That's law in California. It's social madness, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like I said, the kids really, I mean, I would just, Dr. Brown, I would just really tell these parents to really look at even what these kids are being taught at school right now.
Yes, sir.
As far as, gay sex and all this, because this is an agenda that people got to understand that is being pushed from the top.
It's not being pushed.
It's not about what this person's doing behind closed doors, the way, you know, if somebody wants to do something behind closed doors and they have to answer to the Almighty God and Jesus Christ, that's okay. But to push it on society is wrong, and just make sure they realize what their kids are, you know, listening
yeah.
and watching.
Yeah, make sure you know what's going on in your kids' schools, especially with sex ed. We're not just talking about homosexual issues, heterosexual issues as well. By the way, recent surveys indicated 1.6% of the American population, same in UK, identify as gay or lesbian. For the record, the choice is to act things out.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe that gay is the new black or transgender is the new black, that it's a fair comparison to say, hey, you've got people who are marginalized, people who are outsiders, people who are misunderstood, people who suffered discrimination, and now there's more acceptance and tolerance, so gay is the new black. Do you feel it's an unfair comparison? Our previous caller, Stephen from Charlotte, North Carolina, said that he's a coach, sports coach for kids, and the kids are different than the older generation. They're more tolerant. They're more accepting. They are not having the same racial divisions. Well, the same way they're more tolerant and accepting of kids who identify as gay or lesbian. So isn't it all the same thing? Or is that an unfair comparison? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Sarah in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Yeah, I really appreciate you taking my call. I have two comments. The first comment is, for the population of people that voted for President Obama, you know, particularly the African American population, one of the biggest issues that I personally have, and I know that other people have this issue, is I really think it's very hypocritical that a lot of these people, white, black, whoever you are, voted for this guy because of his race. And that is true. I don't care what people say. A lot of people voted for this guy because of his race, because they could identify, or because they were a Democrat and he was a Democrat. But ultimately, at the end of the day, this guy, in the first election, made it very clear, whether it's subliminally or overtly, he made it pretty clear that he was not opposed to gay rights. Now, I have a lot of various opinions about that, but at the end of the day, you know, these people voted for him, okay? They voted for him. So if you're going to vote for somebody, you really don't have a right to complain when he chooses to honor the rights of one group while honoring the rights of another group versus whatever, you know, views you have. If you vote for this guy, you're voting for the whole picture. You know what
right,
I mean?
Let me give you a couple of comments. Let me tell you where I agree and where I disagree. I agree in that I warned listeners that he would be the most radically pro-homosexual, pro-abortion president in our nation's history based on clear stances that he had taken prior to this, things he had put in writing prior to this. And there were listeners who simply didn't believe me. I remember one woman said that she shared this with her friends, and they said, you can't listen to what the media tells you. So on a certain level, there was willful ignorance, and that's inexcusable. On another level, President Obama, if you go with his view, he changed his views, but according to what we understand from his previous statements and David Axelrod, his closest political advisor, he lied to the American people because he knew that black voters were more conservative, had a higher mm-hmm. value of marriage, more religious values. So he lied to the voters. And look, I fully understand black Americans wanting to vote the first black president. I mean, the symbolism of it, the meaning of it, the potential of it, the message it sends out, it's massive. I wish I could have been part of that, but I couldn't. And that's why I wanted to see him be the greatest president we ever had. I thought, or a great president, it'd be wonderful. I was deeply concerned, though, that it would be the opposite and therefore would be a step backwards in many ways, discouraging more than anything. But I fully understand why the vast majority of black Americans would want to vote for the first ever black president. And it's such an important thing for the nation as a whole in so many ways. So I could understand initially if they wanted to put the best construction on him. White Americans that wanted to vote for him wanted to put the best construction on his words, wanted to believe what he was saying, even though it was clear he was lying about marriage issues and redefining marriage based on previous statements that he had made in writing and the statements he had made even leading right up to the election, but more in private. I could understand that. Now that his real colors came out, during the first term, but especially in the second, many people are saying we made a mistake, white and black voters as well, that they made a mistake. But look, we all do things in a knee-jerk way. I'm more inclined to vote for a Republican candidate, be the person white, black, Jewish, Hispanic, Native American, doesn't matter, if they outwardly said that they held to the same moral values I did, I would scrutinize, I would see if they had a history of it, but then I'd be hoping it was true because that's what their platform is, and then you often get disappointed. So my thing is I vote, I get involved, but I don't put a whole lot of trust in the political system. I will say President Obama is a radical liberal, and he has brought about radical change. Whether you like it or not, he's brought about radical change. I say most of it has been destructive, but he has brought about radical change. In that sense, he's been true to who he really is, and we're reaping the consequences for better or worse. But thank you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fuller, Massachusetts. Tyler, welcome to the Line of Fire. All right. That was a delayed reaction there. Do you agree? Is gay the new black? Or has the civil rights movement been hijacked by gay activists? It doesn't mean that we don't want to see every human being treated fairly. It doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye if a gay person is beat up on the street just because they're gay. We turn a blind eye to that, God forbid. But it does mean that you do not allow another group that is dissimilar to piggyback on your own movement. And by the way, talking about disappointment. I remember when Jimmy Carter was elected. You know, I was a fairly new believer. It was the 70s, right? I was a fairly new believer, and we're going to have a born-again president. Yes, yes. And then there was the big thing. He did an interview for Playboy magazine. Was that good or not? And he confessed that he had lust to us. Okay, he's just a regular guy. Fine. And then when we had the first his first appointee for his cabinet is a good show. I mean, I wanted him to shine. Whoa, that was a disappointment, wasn't it? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Scooter in Yonkers, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Hold
Doing
on very
one second.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. As long as it doesn't take too long. Go ahead. We're here.
Okay. Okay. It's been a hijacking, without a doubt, of the civil rights agenda on a number of levels. But that's been going on for quite some time by the left, by the introduction of women's rights, piggybacking that. Gay rights are just the newest piece of the puzzle. But more to the point about how the president got in the position to do this in the first place, the previous caller had mentioned people voting. I'm an African-American. The vote for President Obama was, you know, we're the culture that likes a pill for everything. The vote for President Obama was the American racism pill. America has expunged itself of the image of racism because we've elected an African American twice.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I'm listening to you. Yeah, okay. I'm listening.
And in doing that, people who, you know, we're basically a good country. We are, without a doubt, the least racist nation on the face of this earth. And people want to feel good about themselves. People who have grown up through the 60s and 70s, you know, people my age, I'm 54, by and large want to feel good about their relations with people of other races. And the president was able to articulate a language in a way that made people feel good about themselves and made them feel as if they've been exonerated. And so...
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
We as a church have to start articulating. There was a great book, I'm sure you've heard of it, Love and Delight by Peter Hubbard. And it speaks of the kind of language that we as the church need to adopt. Because I think one of the things the president is doing right now is that this is an area where the left and the Democratic Party always wins, not because they're right, but because of the way they speak.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to, you are excluded in this, but by and large, there are far too many voices in the Christian church and in Christian media that are not sensitive, are not compassionate, because we can differ and disagree without being disagreeable. But there is far too much vitriol coming from.
Just to jump in, Scooter. I wanted you to get in as much as you could because we've got a break coming up. But even if the Democrats' system is not the most compassionate, it sounds compassionate. It does use right language. And when Republicans will come up with an alternative, even if it's a better alternative, it doesn't sound compassionate. The key thing to me is, do we have the compassion in our hearts? And if we really get it in our hearts, then we can get our message out even better. But Scooter, thank you for a perceptive call. Much appreciated.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. I reposted an article that I wrote a couple of years ago, almost 3 years ago now, that took material from my Queer Thing That Happened to America book, where I've got a whole big chapter on why gay is not the new black. I've got a whole chapter there, and I excerpted some key points. Let's just see here. Yeah, there are prominent black leaders who say gay is not the new black, like Timothy F. Johnson, founder and president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. And I give four basic reasons in this article. There's no true comparison between skin color and behavior. That's number one. Number two, the very real hardships endured by many gays and lesbians cannot fairly be compared with the monstrous suffering endured by African Americans. Number three, skin color is innate and immutable. Sexual orientation is not. Number four, removing the unjust laws against interracial marriage did not require a fundamental redefinition of marriage and family. Legalizing same-sex, quote, marriage does. Just some of the reasons why gay is not the new black. Obviously, the whole, quote, gay rights argument is it is innate and immutable. It is, you're born that way and you cannot change. Therefore, it's just like skin color. Again, for quite a few reasons, four of which I just listed. The comparison doesn't work. Let's go again to Charlotte, North Carolina. Ken, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, when I was going to Hope of the World, I was talking with three black women, and we were always having a good time. And the church put out, the rabbi put out a consensus of both candidates, McCain and Obama. And when I told him I was McCain, he was the lesser of two evils to me. They implied that they're going to, that I was racist. I said, well, I don't vote on the color of the melanin of somebody's skin. And I said, besides, he has the heart of a murderer. What do you mean by that? I said, well, he voted for partial birth abortion.
Yeah.
And secondly, I said, he knows nothing about the Constitution. And if I was going to vote for someone black, it would be Walter Williams or Thomas Sowell or Howard Kane. Or even now, I hope Ben Carson gets in there. But they say he's too truthful, he wouldn't make it. But anyway, I was just flabbergasted that they accused me of being racist because I wouldn't vote. And I said, first of all, he wouldn't be the first black president, he'd be the first mulatto president. What do you mean by that? He has a white mother. And, you know, so things got pretty cold after that. But
yeah, understandably. So, and Ken, I first came up against some of this, and again, every group, whoever I represent, whatever my own life is, we all have blind spots, every single one of us. But this is a blind spot I came up against when I first went on the air and began to talk about any of the candidates at all. I first took issue with the statement that John McCain had made, and then the next week I took issue with the statement that President Obama had made, and a caller called in and said, you know, why do you always have to bash him? And, you know, why are you speaking about race? And I said, what? I was flabbergasted because race had nothing to do with it. And I listed black candidates I would have gladly voted for. So it is one of those things where, you know, you just have to keep discussing issues and looking at issues. I fully understand why it was a very important day for Black Americans to see a Black president, although, yes, his mother is white, but because he identifies as Black, looks Black, his wife is Black, kids are Black, I understand why we just say Black president. But, yeah, there are issues. Look, the issue is not skin color. The issue is not, yeah, there are racists who didn't vote for him and racists who did vote for him because there's racism on all sides. The issue is the issues. The issue is where does someone stand on certain issues? I could care less if their skin color is green or blue. I could care less if ultimately, this person could be Catholic and hold to key values I hold to and have a stand with Israel the way I would want, have a strong understanding of security and economy. And even though we disagree on a lot of theology because I'm not Catholic, that wouldn't be the issue to me. And my big issue with Mitt Romney was not that he was a Mormon, although I understand those who had concerns with that, but that I wasn't really convinced that he was a moral conservative. Those are my issues there. Anyway, thank you, though, for calling, Ken. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Stephen in Rhode Island. Time is short, but please dive right in.
Hi. Put it in park. I was just telling the young lady on the phone, I lived a homosexual lifestyle. It was almost militant in nature. And I've had these attractions since before they were sexual, 4 or 5 years old. My mom said she remembers me putting a dress on when I was, I don't remember that, but I just want to say the transforming power of Christ is true. I've been celibate for almost 9 years, and I commend you, and I am just, I'm not articulate, but I just want to say people use that as an excuse, their desires to go that way or to advocate it. You know, I voted for President Obama in the primaries when I was a new Christian, and my conservative friends looked at me and explained that he might not really be what he stands for. And so anyway, I commend you, and I hear your compassion for the homosexual community. You stand for Christ. You stand for truth. And the Holy Spirit who's living in me knows that. And I'm very blessed to be able to listen to you stand fairly while they fight unjustly and unfairly. So God bless you, and thank you.
Oh, Stephen, you're very welcome. Let me tell you, you're quite articulate. That's the only thing I disagree with when you said you're not articulate, quite articulate. Thank God for his transforming power. And even though you struggle with attractions, you understand God requires obedience. What an example to others in the body. Stephen, can I ask how old you are?
I'm 52.
52, right. So you're talking about living something out for years, being militant, decades, and then understanding the will of God is holiness.
Yes.
And is real quick, because we're almost out of time, are you feeling a totally deprived, empty life, or are you blessed?
I am so fulfilled. And, you know, and people around me who are close to me use that as an excuse that I'm lying to myself. I said that is absurd. I've never been more fulfilled and more
praise
happy. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I could hear that in your voice, but I wanted you to proclaim it to the nation. Stephen, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. No, gay is not the new black. Don't let it be hijacked. Don't let the civil rights movement be hijacked any longer. All right, friends, take advantage of the special offer. A vitally important book, an eye-opening book, a shocker. Eric Stakelback, ISIS Exposed, Beheading, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. $30 book. When you order it, we'll pay the postage and send you a free DVD of my recent talk on understanding radical Islam. My bottom line today, it is the time for the church to push back. It's time to say gay is not the new black. It's time also to recover the power of the gospel. The year of pushback continues. I've got more encouraging news for you. And what is the gospel really?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A week ago Sunday, I was in Franklin, Tennessee, preaching a message on understanding radical Islam. By the way, we're including the DVD of that message with this week's special resource. But at the end of the message, talking about the nature of radical Islam, talking about its destructive power, talking about how it calls people to a life and death commitment, but one that brings death, not life, whereas ours brings life, not death. The commitment that we make. I close the message with quote after quote from the words of Jesus and the words of Paul. And then this past Sunday at my home congregation, Fire, I spoke on following Jesus is a radical thing. And I bring that up at the outset of this broadcast to say that we must recover the gospel. We must recover the costliness of the gospel. While salvation is absolutely free, it's a gift that we cannot earn. In a trillion lifetimes, we could not earn it, nor could we repay what Jesus has done for us. When he dies for us, he saves us, and he takes ownership. We now belong to him. We now live for another master. We now live to do the will of another. We are no longer our own. We are bought with a price. Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever will not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. These are the words of the Savior and the Lord. He is giving his blood for the human race. He does not need to cut some deal to say, well, tell you what, I'll die for you so you can have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And then just every so often, you know, throw me and appreciate. No, no, no. We die to sin and we live to do the will of God. That's salvation. If we can recover that truth and begin to live differently as followers of Jesus in America, the nation will be rocked. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. We've got some words of challenge. We've got some words of encouragement. And we've got some questions to put forward. I put one forward in the last hour. I may put it forward again in this hour. And if you've called in to discuss that, just stay where you are because I'll be getting back to this in a little while. 866-348-7884. In terms of further pushback, I expect a pushback with Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness has said it is their policy that if a man identifies as a woman, he can use the woman's locker room. What if it makes all the ladies uncomfortable? No, no, no. It's a judgment-free zone, so they want a non-intimidating, welcoming environment. What if having a man in the women's locker room, someone who is obviously a biological male who identifies as a woman, makes the women feel intimidated and makes the women feel non-welcome? No, doesn't matter. That's the policy. If you're a member of Planet Fitness, I encourage you to politely go to your local gym where you have membership and ask them to report this to corporate management that you are asking them to exclude from your locker rooms, if you're a woman, a biological male from your locker rooms, if you're a man, a biological female from your locker rooms, especially not just for you, but for your kids' sake as well in terms of people being uncomfortable or confused. And for more information on that, read my latest article, Planet Fitness Declares Itself Unfit, 866-34-TRUTH to call. To read the article, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article to read more. Planet Fitness declares itself unfit. We come back. I've got some news from the nation. And then question I want to put forth and ask you, is gay the new black?
Fire we please, and the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me lay out a central theme that I have shared for years, which is that gay activists will overplay their hand. Americans want to be tolerant. Americans want to be accepting. Americans don't want to repeat the horrors of the past, be it in our relationship to Black Americans, be it in our relationship to Native Americans. We don't want to repeat horrors of the past. We want to be tolerant, accepting, good, positive, excellent. And the younger generation doesn't make color distinctions the way the older generation did. Wonderful, excellent, glad for that. At the same time, there is a major problem. The major problem being that we have equated romantic attraction, sexual desires with innate, immutable characteristics that deserve civil rights. That has confused the issue. So I believe for years that gay activists would overplay their hands. We're seeing it now in that it's not just a matter of gay lesbian, but gay lesbian bisexual. Not just a matter of gay lesbian bisexual, but gay lesbian bisexual transgender. And on it goes. Maybe I can just find this. I was sent a link earlier that was, even for me, even having researched these things and discussed them for years now, for over a decade, and being on the front lines of what's happening in America and the nations in regard to these critical issues, and wanting the church to reach out with greater compassion, treating everyone with kindness and respect while differing with the goals of gay activism, I got something sent to me earlier today that was a shocker in terms of how far certain things have gone at one particular college. I'll get to that in a moment. But by gay activists overplaying their hand, I mean, for example, insisting that there has to be this bathroom bill, that the bill that was defeated in city council a week ago today in Charlotte, North Carolina, that one reason, the primary reason it was defeated was because it included this bathroom bill, which would have said that all bathrooms and locker rooms, public bathrooms and locker rooms in the city would become gender neutral, which is social and moral madness, simply to accommodate a tiny percentage of the people for whom we care who have issues with gender identity and who believe that they're trapped in the wrong body. I have compassion on those people as well, but you do not turn society upside down based on that. Gay activists also overplay their hand with the attack on freedom of religion, speech, and conscience. Just as Haman was not satisfied unless Mordecai bowed down, in the same way, gay activists will not be happy until the church bows down. I've said the unspoken mantra of gay activism for years has been, we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. I'm here to say plainly, we will not capitulate. So in different states now, I'm looking at a report from massresistance.org. Four states have filed bills now, it's up to four, to circumvent, quote, gay marriage rulings by federal courts, stopping the juggernaut of madness. So Oklahoma has done that. Texas has done that. South Carolina has done that. Missouri has done this. Now this is as of 2 weeks ago, all right? Of course, Alabama, the Supreme Court of Alabama, with only one dissenting vote, has said that the judges cannot, within the state, issue same-sex, quote, marriage licenses, no matter what the federal court says. And it's going to heat up when the Supreme Court makes its ruling in late June, which, barring something unexpected, will go against us. What's going to happen then? It's not the end. It's the beginning. It is going to galvanize opposition, not to people, but to gay activism. So I'm looking at this again, talking about overplaying the hand, about going too far, about going beyond where people want to go. There are now different bills being passed. A Florida public bathroom bill. This is a bill that March 4th, transgender people would have to use public bathrooms designated for their birth gender, unless they have a license or passport that proves they've completed their transition to the new sex under a bill that passed its first legislative committee on Wednesday. I'm looking at another article about bathroom bill in Kentucky. Similar thing, saying, hey, if you're biological male, you have to use the men's bathroom. why is this happening? It's happening because gay activism keeps going further with its societal demands. And that's why there's steady pushback. No, it's not a victory against people. I did not celebrate Monday night. We beat them. No. I felt bad that gays and lesbians, LGBT-identified community in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, would feel pushed out or defeated. And I was not happy with the tone on both sides at times during the very passionate debate over these issues. And I'm still determined to reach out and build relationships in the midst of the differences. But we have to recognize that within the gay revolution itself are the seeds of self-destruction. Why, in many ways, it is already a failure, as much as it has made many advances in the name of LGBT rights. I'll get into that in my book coming out later this year on outlasting the gay revolution. Before I put a question forward for all of you to respond to, I just want to play a couple of clips. This was on the Charlotte-based NBC station on yesterday morning. This aired at 11 o'clock. So this is local NBC. What is it? WCNC. Flashpoint. It's a panel discussion. So I was joined by Dr. Mark Harris, pastor of First Baptist, along with Matt Comer, editor of Q-Notes. He's been on the show with us before, local gay activist, and Barbara Green, a straight ally business owner, straight ally of the LGBT community. So here's just a little interaction. This is my speaking on Flashpoint, clip number one. We sent out links to the video if you want to watch it. I think you'll find the interaction helpful. Clip number one. We are not telling everyone that we want the whole city of Charlotte to follow the Bible and every Sunday everything's going to be shut down. We're simply saying what's good policy. And again, in city after city, it's demonstrated, it's documented. One gentleman, a professor raised by lesbian mothers and who identifies as bisexual, has documented 300 cases of abuses where these laws have been used to discriminate against Christians. So the question is, we're neighbors, we want to be colleagues, we want to be friends, work together in a civil environment. If they're genuine abuses, we want to address them. So for me, my Christianity is going to fuel me, my faith is going to fuel me to love my neighbor as myself and to say, what's in the best interest of the city? And then when I think of transgender issues, I have friends that had sex change surgery and lived to regret it. The suicide rate of people after sex change surgery remains remarkably high. I want to do the compassionate thing and find out what's causing these issues, these disorders, and help people from the inside out, as opposed to saying we make the whole city gender neutral to help a few that are struggling. Let's get to the root of their struggle. So that was a point that I made. In contrast, one more clip. This is Matt Comer, local gay activist in Charlotte, North Carolina, editor of Q-Notes. Clip number two.
It, your case, I think, would be a lot stronger if you actually had secular groups opposing this. But we've seen time and time again, back to 92, Pastor Harris's predecessor, Charles Page, opposed the similar ordinance in 1992, saying the city didn't need to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. I think the opposition purely is from a very conservative, anti-LGBT faith perspective.
But from a purely secular perspective, the vast majority of people recognize the radicality of the bill itself. The fact of the matter is, the radicality of the bill that would have actually been debating whether to make all the locker rooms and bathrooms gender neutral. Let's bring some common sense into this. I'm happy to debate this on a religious perspective and to say God made male and female and to say why I don't agree with homosexual practice, etc. But when I'm going to vote as a citizen, of course the Bible fills my values and my thinking, but I'm still going to say, as a citizen, I have a vote. I have a voice. I'm not trying to impose anything. And that's why we have the discussion. To me, I felt I was glad the bill was defeated, but I felt bad that many in your community would now say another victory for the Christians against the LGBTs, because I still want to be a friend in the midst of the differences. And that's where we're going to have to talk and be civil, as you want to be as well.
All right. I mentioned one other thing that was just shows how things go too far. How things go too far in terms of gay activism overplaying its hand. This is a school, Wesleyan. I'm just looking at details here. Okay, this is housing they have, 154 Church Street. It's a particular house. It's a safe space for LGBTQQFAGPBDSM communities. What does it stand for? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, queer, questioning, flexual, asexual, gender F, polyamorous, bondage, disciple, I think they meant discipline, dominant, submission, sadism, masochism, communities. This is insanity. This is nothing less than insanity, and this is housing at a university. Need I say more? Need I say more? This is why we need a revolution. Talk about it. This is why we need a revolution. We'll be right back. I want to get to the phones.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Every time I'd walk out of my grandfather Finnegan's home, he'd yell, "Joey, keep the faith." But I want you to remember what my grandmother would say. She'd say, "No, Joey, go spread it. Spread the faith, folks. We are going to fully, totally, thoroughly succeed. It's inevitable."
That was the voice of Vice President Joe Biden speaking at the Human Rights Campaign Equality Convention, the world's largest gay activist organization, budget of over $50 million. President Obama himself speaks for them. I was called out by name by their former president back in 2007, who challenged me directly. And of course, they say that gay is the new black. They say in fact, one more time for listeners this hour, clip number 8, they say that the civil rights movement paved by black Americans is now the one that is being led forward by gay and other Americans. This is what the president said, and we'll go right to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. This is what President Obama said, speaking about Bloody Sunday, 50-year anniversary of that horrific event in Selma, Alabama. Clip number 8.
The doors of opportunity swung open, not just for black folks, but for every American. Women marched through those doors. Latinos marched through those doors. Asian Americans, gay Americans, Americans with disabilities, they all came through those doors.
Do you feel that the civil rights movement is being hijacked by the LGBT community, or are they the rightful heirs of it? President said, "We're the firefighters who rushed into those buildings on 9/11, the volunteers who signed up to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq. We're the gay Americans whose blood ran in the streets of San Francisco and New York, just as blood ran down this bridge." How do you feel about quotes like that? 866-34-TRUTH. Charles in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. And just so you know, we did talk last week after the council meeting at which we both spoke, and I say yay to your previous caller, Steve, who has been celibate for 9 years, because as I told you last week, I'm 69, I've dealt with it, and I definitely can help spread the real gospel. And what the point I'd like to make is the fact that gay is not the new black, and also that we as Christians, instead of focusing on an attack on religious liberty, I think what we have to start saying loudly in the public square is the attack on individual liberties, of which religious is one. That by the Declaration, individual liberty was endowed by our Creator, a God-given right, not a government-given one, so government has no legitimacy to take it away or infringe on it or deny it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the central point we've got to keep harping on. And what I realized last week after spending time thinking about it was that the whole discrimination thing, of course, got started with civil rights legislation in 65. Now, why was that just and legitimate, but everything that's been added to it, other categories since, are not? It is simply the fact that segment of society when there is pervasive, widespread discrimination by one segment against another, as there was with government-legislated segregation, then you are, in fact, denying individual liberty to a segment of society. But that is the only reason for government ever to interfere or have any say about it. And what prompted that was the Human Rights Campaign fact sheet they submitted to the city lawyer under the need for this policy, saying to protect people from arbitrary decisions. Now ask yourself, if government's role is to protect people from making arbitrary decisions, what is the meaning of individual liberty?
Right. And let me just say this, Charles. Basically, most people are not thinking issues through. They are reacting in a knee-jerk way. They're reacting in a knee-jerk way, saying we mistreated Black Americans, we don't want to mistreat gay Americans, without saying, is it a fair comparison? Can you compare skin color to romantic attraction, sexual desire? When are desires or behaviors protected by our Constitution, Bill of Rights, anything? Where is it written that every American must affirm or recognize the sexual desires and romantic attractions of all other Americans? How does that become a protected right? On what basis is marriage redefined because of particular attractions and desires? If that's the only guideline and it's just people want to commit themselves and have a family together, then ultimately we're going to have to completely redefine marriage until it becomes meaningless. That's another way in which I believe gay activism will overplay its hand. Hey, Charles, thank you for calling and for standing for your convictions. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go back to Manhattan, New York City. Justin, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? Praise God. So I'm a 19-year-old, and along the lines of homosexuality, I had a friend who used to be part of our worship team, and he's left the church. And I've gotten the opportunity to talk to him. And I was just talking to him about homosexuality, and he was like, but God wants people to be happy. And I'm like, but the Word of God clearly says that homosexuality is a sin. Look at, like, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6. But he was like, it's only talking about homosexual, like, sexual activities, not talking about the man and man, woman woman relationship. My heart really grieves for him. And my only question is, like, how should we deal with these type of people, you know?
Yeah, well, Justin, I appreciate you calling as a 19-year-old. Do you have my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian?
No.
All right, tell you what, I want to send you a copy. So when we're done talking, stay right there, all right? And then Betsy is going to get your contact info so we can send it out to you as a gift. But your whole point, of course, is absolutely right, that your friend just saying God wants us to be happy, that's not the gospel. If following Jesus means persecution, that's not necessarily being happy in the natural. If following Jesus means sacrifice and service, that's not necessarily being happy in the natural. Oh, it's joy in God, but it's not necessarily being happy in this world. Jesus didn't come into the world and die for us so that we could be happy. He died for us so that we could know him and follow him and serve him. And yes, have eternal life and joy beyond measure, but with persecutions, with opposition, it might even cost us our lives. And then, of course, eternal life in the world to come. Your friend is grossly misinterpreting Scripture and is basically saying, I would rather show solidarity with people that I feel are being oppressed than be loyal to God. It's epidemic level in your generation. So hopefully we can send you some resources to help equip you to reach out even more effectively. Stay right there. I want to send you the book.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just want to change subjects for a moment here. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, the word blessed in the Gospels, and a particular word for blessed in Hebrew, not blessed, but blessed, is ashrei in Hebrew, makarios in Greek, which means truly happy, but it is not based on circumstance. It is based on the joy of the Lord, the blessing of God in our lives. Excuse me, that is blessed versus blessed. In Hebrew, it would be baruch, which would mean blessed by God. I just want to change. Well, I'm not changing subjects. I'm talking about blessing. I'll post this on Facebook in a bit. Someone watched my message, a Muslim named Muhammad, watched my message on understanding radical Islam. I'll tell you, you can get that in a moment. He watched the message, and what he wrote, posted, of course, this gets you blocked from any of our channels because we don't allow these personal attacks, but we capture it first just for records. This is what he wrote. A parasite Jew, this is me, explaining Islam. This charlatan preacher in the video is dishonest by misrepresenting and misquoting the Quran and Islam. May the curse of God be on him. Well, we let him know that he can't curse me because I'm blessed. I'm blessed, so I can't be cursed because I'm blessed by God. I remember a tent preacher came into inner city New York years ago and was told that there were these witches and witch doctors that were going to send him a pie, and they were going to curse the pie, so if he ate it, something would happen to him. And he said, tell him to send lemon pie. I love lemon pie. Yeah, I mean, that was his attitude. But I feel bad for these people speaking through such blindness. Of course, what I quoted was accurate. Of course, what I quoted was fair. And of course, as always, I gave the other side. Of course, as always, I was saying now other Muslims would say this, others would look at it like this. But here, I think this is really indicative, all right? I just want to share just a piece of my own life here for a minute. If you go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown on Facebook, you'll see that there are there's a place for reviews where people can actually review the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page and say what they think of our work in ministry, right? So it's gotten, I don't know how many reviews, let's just see, almost 2,000 reviews, the vast majority being 5-star, and then a minority, maybe 1/9, 1/10 being 1-star, so blasting me. So here's one, okay? Dr. Brown is one of the world's foremost Christian apologists. Awesome man of God. His calling in this crooked and depraved generation is sure blessing. He rightly divides the word of God without compromise. Take time to hear him speak. Your life will not be the same. These are the kind of men we need. My prayers are with you. All right? Immediately beneath that is from a gay activist. This man is one of the nation's most vile, homophobic bigots. I wouldn't trust him for advice on anything. Stay far, far away. So this is what I live with pretty much 24/7. Those who love me, those who hate me. But by God's grace, we're intending to do what's right regardless of cost or consequence. By God's grace, we're going to speak the truth regardless of cost or consequence. By God's grace, we're going to honor him and do what's right and walk in love, whether people call us haters or not. We're going to stand up for what's right, knowing for a surety that God's ways will ultimately triumph in the earth, knowing for a surety that no matter what, the word of God will stand. Bibles have been burned. Skeptics and mockers have come and gone. Movements have arisen and fallen. The word of God stands sure. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, let's listen to Vice President Joe Biden again speaking at the HRC Equality Convention. We'll go to clip number three. Vice President Biden always has some interesting comments, does he not?
There's a famous quote by Justice Holmes, and he said, "The mind of a bigot is like the pupil of the eye. The more light you pour on it, the more tightly it will contract." We're never going to be able to, I want you to understand, you're never going to be able to eliminate the bigots. They're a small percentage of the population. They'll continue to be vocal. But make one thing absolutely clear here, folks. They are in an incredibly smaller and smaller minority. This country is changing.
In other words, according to Joe Biden, if you believe what the Bible says about marriage, you're a bigot. If you believe what the Bible says about sexual morality, you're a bigot. This is from the Vice President of the United States. Is it a surprise? No, these have been talking points. This has been the mentality, and this is the whole, what do you want to call it? The whole game, the whole gimmick to paint us as bigots. Are there bigots out there? Yeah, bigots on all sides. You got bigots in every race. You got bigots in every party. You got bigots all over the place, who have no concern for facts, no concern for moral reasoning, no concern for compassion. They're just going to hold to what they hold to, regardless of what facts you present them with, regardless of what you tell them, regardless of what information you give them. That is going to change their view because they're small-minded. They are closed-minded. When we voted not to redefine marriage a few years back in North Carolina, I received a phone call from a young woman who was a college student. She was so pleased that at least her county was one of the few counties in the state, along with Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte is located, one of the few counties in the state that voted for redefining marriage. The vote was overwhelming, 61% to 39%, saying we don't want to redefine marriage. And she was glad that at least she was in an enlightened county. She was glad that at least she was in a county where people were progressive in thinking, and was upset that the people who really didn't understand the issues got to vote. This is what she actually said. So I said, in other words, bigots like me, that's what you're saying. You know, I've got a PhD, I'm an educator, professor, studied these issues intensively for years, dialogued with every side for years. But because I say marriage should not be redefined, I'm a bigot and I shouldn't have the right to vote. Well, she wouldn't quite come out and say that. I ended up writing an article about it. Why do the backwoods bigots get to vote? Now, of course, it's the genius and it's the weakness of America that we have these. We have lots of low information voters on all sides. We have people, they have a right to vote, and they're going to vote for a particular agenda, regardless of what's in anybody else's interest. They think it's for their interest. They're going to vote based on complete misinformation, and their vote counts the same as someone's vote who studied the issues intensively for 10 years. Everybody gets to vote. That's the good and that's the bad. But the idea that those who differ with you are bigots, the idea that those who differ with you are therefore to be excluded, or you just are going to marginalize them more and more. Well, hang on. Maybe you are poorly defining bigot. Maybe you are using the word to advance a political or social agenda. Isn't that the strategy? Label those who differ with you closed-minded bigots. Take one extreme example of a genuine closed-minded bigot and make everybody else responsible as if that was their voice as well. Yeah, and now it's well, why should we listen to that person? They're a bigot. You know what it's like? It's like a little child they decide that a particular kid is no good. You've got the cooties. Well, who says so? We say so. So we're not going to listen. We're not going to play with you. What did I do? Well, we just branded you, and now you're outcast. It's a strategy that actually works with adults.
Well, this group says that you're full of hate, bigotry.
But the group is lying. The group is not basing it on accurate information. The group itself is guilty of being hateful and bigoted and ignoring information and refusing to dialogue or interact. One more quote, clip number 5, Vice President Joe Biden.
Particularly poignant that we're talking about how far we've come and how much further we have to go on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the march that a young man named John Lewis organized to lead them folks over 600 people over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. And at that moment, 50 years ago, the vast majority of states still had anti-sodomy laws. Not a single state recognized marriage, and there were so many other impediments beyond the ones that still remain in the path of everyone in this room and the people you fight for. The same basic human rights were at stake when John marched over that bridge. He said last month, "You cannot talk about breaking down barriers between the races without having equality for everybody, including based on gender and sexual orientation." But not everybody possessed the courage of John Lewis or Dr. King or Harvey Milk or Barbara Giddings or Miss Major or Judy Shepherd. It takes leaders. It takes someone to step forward and to turn adversity into positive change.
So anti-sodomy laws. You understand, right? If you don't understand, we'll leave it there. You may have kids in the car, listening in your home. So removal of laws against segregation is similar to removal of laws against sodomy. So the quote, legal right for two men to do a particular thing in private is equated with civil rights of Black Americans. I mean, that's not just bogus. That is insulting. That is terribly insulting. And let me refer to an article that I wrote, Why Gay is Not the New Black. And in this article, I take excerpts from my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, where I explain this. But I note in this article that the very real hardships endured by many gays and lesbians cannot fairly be compared with the monstrous suffering endured by African Americans. Oh, I mean, in particular, our nation's past. I mean the extreme segregation. I mean the lynchings. And I mean before that, slavery and slave trade and the horrors of it. And all those who died in coming over the Atlantic and the inhuman conditions and being sold as chattel and then having, in many cases, a miserable life existence under oppressive slave masters. And how does that get in the same category of a gay person being beaten up on the streets because they're gay? It's wrong. Of course it's wrong. It's terrible that happened to them. But to compare the two. So conservative gay journalist Charles Weinkauf wrote this. Newsflash, Blacks in America didn't start out as hip-hop fashion designers. They were slaves. There's a big difference between being able to enjoy a civil union with the same-sex partner of your choice and not being able to drink out of a water fountain, eat at a lunch counter, or use a restroom because you don't have the right skin color. And I point out today we have openly gay members of Congress, openly gay celebrities, openly gay CEOs, openly gay financial gurus, openly gay sports stars, openly gay Hollywood moguls, and openly gay college professors, best-selling authors, scientists, and on and on. In the days of segregation in America, there were few, if any, Blacks in such prominent positions, not to mention the fact that in many cities in America, even the lynching of Blacks was accepted. Where in America are gays and lesbians being lynched today with societal approval, and what is the LGBT equivalent to the American slave trade? There is none. I also put out in the article, there is no true comparison between skin color and behavior. This is a few years back. I wrote this article, but just reposted it for folks who may have missed it or who only been following us in more recent months or years. Number one, there's no true comparison between skin color and behavior. Number two, the very real hardships endured by many gays and lesbians cannot fairly be compared with the monstrous suffering endured by African Americans. Number three, skin color is innate and immutable. Sexual orientation is not. Number four, removing the unjust laws against miscegenation, which is interracial marriage, did not require a fundamental redefinition of marriage and family. Legalizing same-sex, quote, marriage does. We come back, very important book about ISIS and radical Islam. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Andrew Bolt, writing for the Herald Sun, Sunday, March 9th. Silence fails in the face of evil. What will it take for many on the left to openly condemn the Islamic State? Why this silence in the face of evil? In January, the Islamic State threw two men off a tall building in Iraq for the, quote, crime of being gay. Look, that's universally condemned around our country. At the same time, many of us say we don't want to redefine marriage and we don't believe it's in the best interest of our nation to do so. And we want men's rooms to be for men and women's rooms to be for women. And there is such a thing as privacy. So two different animals here. In February, they threw another gay man off a building, this time in Syria. When he somehow survived, had a crowd stone him to death. ISIS is in a war against gays, not just against Jews, Christians, and any Muslim thought insufficiently devout. But one of our main gay representatives, largely left-leaning, said in response to such savagery against gays, the NSW Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, silent. This is writing from Australia. Victoria's Gay and Lesbian Rights Libel, not one press release. Labor French bencher Penny Wong, openly lesbian, nothing. Former Greens leader Bob Brown, our first openly gay senator, also nothing. Current Greens leader Christine Milne, not a tweet. Indeed, not one of the 150 floats in Sydney's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras on Saturday flew a banner of protest against this deadly persecution or the brand of faith which inspired it. Yes, the faith. So he goes on speaking about Islam here. It's interesting. I wonder why they have not been speaking out, screaming out against these things. I'm curious. All right. Speaking of ISIS, Islamic State, I'm holding in my hands a book. Just the cover alone is compelling. Eric Stakelbeck, he'll be on with us, scheduled for later in the week. The book, ISIS Exposed, Beheadings, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam. Sean Hannity says, if you want to know what makes ISIS tick, Eric Stakelback is your man. Mike Huckabee said this, sooner or later, America is going to have to face the facts about ISIS. Minimizing the threat and applying half measures against it, as President Obama has done, will only ensure that the terrorism continues to metastasize. And ISIS Exposed, Beheading, Slavery, and the Hellish Reality of Radical Islam, Eric Stakelback reports the facts about the Islamic State, how it grew out of al-Qaeda, spread mayhem across the Middle East, and is inspiring hundreds of young people from London, Minneapolis to Syria to commit acts of violence, conquest, and brutality. On that note, the book will explain how, in America, one of our states that ranks among the nation's top places to live has become the number one terrorist breeding ground in America, and why ISIS now appeals to Western youth in ways that Osama bin Laden never did. It's fascinating and terribly disturbing. Fascinating and terribly disturbing. Now, I want to make practical application to our lives in a moment. One of the chapters is called Jihadi Cool, Hip Hoppin' and Head Choppin'. Another Heartland Horror, The American Results, yes, right here in America, and why you should care about ISIS. A well-researched compellingly written book. It's a $30 hardcover and worth every dime of that. But when you order it from us, as we always try to be a blessing to you and help you with resources, we'll not only pay the postage, but we are including with the book, which is 275 pages long, a lecture that I did, a talk that I did, Franklin, Tennessee, 8 days ago on understanding radical Islam. It's a real eye-opener. It'll give you better understanding for the Muslim world and a greater heart to pray for the salvation of Muslims. So you can order as many copies as you want. That's $30 postage paid, including the DVD, Understanding Radical Islam. To order, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or you can go to the website, askdrbrown.org. When you go to my homepage, you'll see it right there on the homepage. You can find out more there as well and order on our website. Or again, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Now, practical application. No Muslim should be more zealous for death than we are for life. No Muslim should be more zealous for his or her cause than we are for the cause of Jesus. Oh, we are not fanatical. But remember, what the world calls fanatical and much of the church calls extremism, God calls normal. It is normal to say, I'm following Jesus regardless of cost or consequence. It is normal to say, my life is not my own. I belong to him. It is normal to say, I'm going to stand up for what's right. If my family turns against me, if I lose my job, if I lose my life, I will not deny the Lord. That's normal. That's normal New Testament commitment. Again, the mindset of the New Testament, the mindset that Jesus laid out was that he was Lord, he is Lord. It is the Lord who saves us. Here, think of it like this. If you were given a new job that you did not observe, and the person that you were accountable to was called the boss, and the boss said, you've been given this job, you don't deserve it, but we just care about you and love you and want to help you, so here's the job, it's absolutely free. Now you come in at work at 8 in the morning, you get an hour lunch break, you leave at 5, first year you get 1 week off, second year 2 weeks off, and we're paying you $1 million a day, you have to show up, I'm your boss. Well, you understand what that means. You understand what that means, correct? You understand this is completely outrageous, off the charts. There's no way that you could ever be worth $1 million a day. I don't know who is. And it's just given you as a gift. But there are requirements with it. And this is what the boss is telling you. Well, the one who saves us is the Lord Jesus. Maybe you were told salvation is just a free gift. Salvation is forgiveness of sins. For salvation is eternal life. All of that's true, but that's not the whole story. Salvation is a new life of obedience to God. Salvation is a new life of service. Salvation is dead to the old life and alive to the new. Salvation is take up the cross and follow the Master. Salvation is 2 Corinthians 5:15, that Jesus died for us, that we who die would no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose from the dead. Salvation is 1 Corinthians 6, you're bought with a price, you're not your own, therefore glorify God in your body. Salvation is Colossians 3. You died and your life is now hidden with the Messiah in God. Salvation is Galatians 2. I died and the life I now live is not me. It's the Messiah living through me. Salvation is Philippians 1. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's normal New Testament commitment. And we do it by the power and life of the Holy Spirit, empowered out of gratefulness for God. My bottom line today, don't let the fanatics of the world, don't let the radicals of the world have more zeal for their deadly cause than we, true followers of Jesus, have for the cause that brings life. Came to work.